This Sunday. Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and Live Feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
Neighbor called my landlord, said that she was pissed. Up all night, making noise, and she can't get no rest. Said we was running a flop house, full of thieves and thugs. Musicians and hooligans, and we were all on drugs.
Yeah, we're all hooligans. we're doing our thing today on Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, with your hosts, Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. Chris, how are you today, my friend?
I'm trying to figure out what music that was.
we're doing a little bit of Smash Mouth today.
Oh, okay. Something new. It's probably 20 years old. I still don't know it.
It is old. This is, from the cutout bin at Infinity Records, of course. These are the dollar CDs. But, you know, it's stuff that I didn't buy today, so you pick it up now. My kids know it.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's nice that it does. It is popular with the adult, young adult set.
That's actually a song called The Fonz.
The Fonz. Oh, like, yes. Like Happy Days. Hey,
Art the Fonzarelli. Hey.
Hey. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So,
wow, that's
Sunday,
awesome.
Yes, people can get a hold of us if they like at 516-572-7440. Mm-hmm. Check us out on the web, of course, on Motormouth Radio on Twitter, on motormouthradio.com, and on Facebook, and of course, real_Motormouth Radio on Instagram, where you will see this week, if you happen to look, you'll find some new doings.
Yes, and I've actually been looking, and I'm impressed because I noticed not only do you repair vehicles and power washers or carpet cleaners, but you're also knee deep in clothes dryers. Wow.
You know,
I'm amazed.
You know, I know you know.
Yep.
Because for years we've talked about all the things that we do in the show. It's not just automotive. I remember one of the funniest stories was years ago I told you about, this is going back like, oh God, say 17 years ago. I had
we know each other a long time. Yes.
Yeah. I made an air cleaner for my Fiat out of a ceiling fan.
Yes, out of the body of a ceiling fan.
And I can't take all the credit for that because my good friend Neil had said something about that. He was in the counterculture of car and motorcycle world at the time. He says, yeah. So I had a Hunter ceiling fan, and I said, you know, that would make a really good air cleaner. So I did. I had time on my hands. I had time where I needed to be home and couldn't stray, but I needed something to do. So I just spent hours in the garage fleshing this thing out. And that's kind of how I work. My hands have to move to disengage my brain.
Yes, but I know that even though that the plan of execution was true, it didn't work out the way you planned it, right?
Right.
What actually happened? What put the kibosh to the ceiling fan body air cleaner?
Good question, Chris. I'll tell you what happened. I broke one of the cardinal rules of fabrication.
Which is?
You know, of course, measure twice, cut once, all that kind of
right.
stuff. So, well, what I did is I made sure that it fit the carburetor exactly and perfectly and all, but I never fit it under the hood of the car. And when I went to close the hood, it wouldn't. And it was only off by about maybe
that's
a
all it takes.
Yeah. So the project failed. So now it's, you know, it's under the bench. It's a piece of just garage junk. But
right, that space between your thumb and your index finger is all it takes to ruin your day.
But I came in and brought the air cleaner in, showed it to you on, of course, on radio. So
oh yes, and it wowed the crowd in the studio.
Right. And well, the people in the parking lot liked it too. They were pretty cool.
They did.
Hey, you, come here, look at this. So, but
we have to see it on Instaburg.
Well, but we talked about that project, and then the following week, a caller called in and said, "Hey, I heard you guys are talking about a ceiling fan. You guys repair ceiling fans." So, although he had kind of part of it right, he didn't have the whole. And we said, "Well, what do you got? Throw it out." And he had an electrical problem, and I actually fleshed out his electrical problem for a ceiling fan and helped him fix his ceiling. So we've always said we're homeowners, we're fathers, we're husbands, we do stuff like this. So,
well, yeah, there was truly, I think the last 3 months, I was walking around saying, I can fix anything.
That's dangerous.
It's the truth.
Because all the appliances, those appliances will all talk at night and they'll say, all right. Let's come on. What do you got? Yeah, I'll throw one to you.
I had to change the heater element in one of my clothes dryers. Mm-hmm. That was an older unit, but because it was in the house that we weren't staying in very long, mm-hmm. I'm not going to go replace it with another unit. So I said, let me see if I can fix it. And it, as luck would have it, the heater element actually went bad. It rotted away at the bottom. I was like, how come everything you do has a relation to cars?
Well, that's an easy one, yeah.
Because the heater element, the heater element itself was almost about, I'd say about 2 or 3 inches off the ground, the base of it. So that's where it rotted.
Yeah.
Literally, the coil, bink, and then I'm reading about it saying, oh, yes, well, these coils on this model dryer tend to rot. And I'm like, this isn't a 68 Roadrunner. It's a Maytag dryer. Do all dryers need floorboards after 40 years? I don't know.
I'll tell you the funny part. I had repaired this dryer a couple of years ago. There's a couple things in it. There's only four things.
Well, yeah, I mean, simple appliance.
There's a gas valve and there's a set of coils that are over of magnets and they electromagnetically, they open a field that opens the valve. The valve doesn't open by itself anymore. It opens with those coils, which lets the gas in. Then the igniter glows and lights off the gas. Now there's also a thermistor in there. They call it a thermo switch that monitors that when the temperature in that tube gets hot enough, that shuts off the igniter, shuts off the gas and lets it coast and it restarts again. And there's also a thermal fuse back on the stack. So I had done those. This was just, I felt like I was working on a car a couple of years ago because I had, you would start the dryer, you would hear it start, you would watch, you would hear a noise, it was the gas, you'd watch the igniter light up, you'd see the gas, poof, flame come in, beautiful, it would spin, I guess it would be long enough for the thermistor to measure the temperature, and then the flame would go out. Which is what it does, but that wouldn't come back on.
Oh, okay.
So research was kind of, pointing to, I knew it wasn't the igniter. I'm thinking it was the coils. So I take the coils out and it's really just a resistance check across the pins.
Yeah.
They were fine. I'm like, well, why are they? They're fine, but they're not fine. So thinking like some problems I've had with some cars with heat and things like that, problems like an alternator will heat up and the armature will short or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I had the front of the dryer off. I start the thing up. I let it heat up, go through that cycle. And when it went out, quickly, I had to unscrew the holder, take the coils out, and now measure them when they were,
hot.
And that's where I found a bad coil. I found it. And when it cooled down, it went back to a good number again. So
it made its connection, but when it heated up, the connection separated.
Right. So here I am a few years later, and I'm looking at this dopey dryer, and I'm like, how the hell do you get in there to work at this stuff? I know I had the whole thing apart. I couldn't figure out how to take it apart.
I don't blame you. And you had already had it apart.
Oh, yeah.
That's called old age, my son.
I know.
Enjoy it. Revel in it.
So I checked the coils. They're good. I checked the igniter. It's good. The thermistor, I was a little flaky on that reading. I wasn't too sure. So I went down to my appliance repair place that I use. And the guys are really good there. They'll actually help you find the repair part you need, which is nice.
That's nice.
Right. And I bought appliances from them too, so I've spent the money. But And I, of course, I wrote all this out on a piece of paper, all my findings and all. And the guy comes out with his meter. He's double checking and he looks at mine. He goes, wow, you're really detailed with this stuff. I'm like, well, listen, I got to take a systematic approach here. I know I'm not just shotgunning it. No, I didn't just
like
say,
hey,
give me the box of this stuff. So ended up, he says to me, you know what? This stuff is all good. He says, what about the thermal fuse? I'm like, it's the only thing I didn't take out because now it's in. He goes, 9 out of 10 times, it's the fuse. I'm like, that's what they told me last time when it was the coils. I said, okay. I said, look, here's where I'll defer to your knowledge. Give me the fuse. It was $20 cash.
Right.
And
they had it in stock?
Oh, yeah. They have all this. Yeah. Because this is a scratch and dent place I go to. And they do is they get scratch and dent stuff from the stores, from like Home Depot and Lowe's. But they also, they buy out, like when the assisted living places and the senior places, they'll change their appliances. This guy will buy them.
Wow.
So some of them they'll take and have to do minor repairs to or whatever. And so they do keep repair parts.
So they are aware of the repair process. Nice.
And,
this is cool.
And they'll actually go to your house. They'll send a guy out, a technician out to repair something, you know, so they, mm-hmm. you know, and this guy obviously did it before he was the boss. So I said, look, I'll take it on your word that this is it. He goes, you know, because if that is it, you know, come on back, bring it back. And, you know, so of course I had to take another the whole back of the machine. But I found out I cheated the system. Again, working on cars really helps you, because now this thing was in a spot where you reach down in the tunnel and you couldn't do it and not drop the screw and not drop the part, and then you couldn't grab it. So I took another couple screws off the panel, moved it forward, moved a few things, and just jimmy things out of the way to give me enough room. And
get a hand in there.
I found the shortcut, and of course, and then when I fired it up, everything worked. So, yes.
Fantastic.
So you can see
here's the major appliance program.
Well, you know, but like I said, and I wouldn't dwell on this as long as I did, except the point I want to make is it's the same thing as working on a car. You have to observe the problem, realize what it is, then use some diagnostics to troubleshoot it to find the repair that's needed. I mean, obviously, if something's broken in half, okay, that's the broken part. You know, like on the flatbed, yeah, the seal, the thing broke. Okay, obviously, that gets changed.
It's the truth. And it's kind of funny because a lot of times, especially on a major appliance like this, if it's a belt, yeah, it's easy. It's an easy change. If it's I had an issue with a washing machine recently where it wouldn't spin. It would not. And I realized it was a physical thing. There's a transmission and it has, it has prongs.
Oh, yeah.
And it has like little wax donuts that fit over these prongs. Basically, I know I'm explaining it incorrectly, but they're supposed to engage and spin. So it spins the tumbler and they had all sheared off.
Yeah.
So it was a matter of, it's like you say, working on a car, you have to pull the transmission out and undo the torque converter and put a new torque converter in there and slide the transmission back in, put it all together, and it was fine. And it's like cents on the dollar, because I could have easily just thrown it out and spent a couple $100 for another, like a dent and scratch, and drop it in there. And it wasn't even spending the money. It was hauling the thing in and hauling the thing out. I don't want to do that.
Sure.
I just don't feel like moving major appliances. I just don't want to do it.
So
I'm glad you got it fixed. That's great.
So this is what,
save some cash.
Yeah, that's it. You know, this is what we do. So, it's just the procedures. And then the other thing that I just posted, I just made a post this morning to follow up yesterday's. Last week I talked about that quick jack that I had ordered, the driveway.
Yeah.
So that came in.
I'm very impressed. I saw the pictures on real_motormouthradio.com. Very cool.
Did you see this morning's ones with the car on it? Because I posted the bleed procedure, which was, not the whole procedure, but then I said, okay, now it's time to put a car on this. And, you know, the Pontiac was in the garage. So to take that out, it's a pain in the neck. So, the Fiat was sitting right there in the back section of the driveway, and then the Cruise is the one I have to get on there because I need to do oil change and tire rotation. But I said, Fiat, get over here. You're going up on the lift. And let me tell
you,
that jack fit really just between the front, the wheelbase of the car is short. It fit just between those front wheels with maybe an inch to spare. So, but it was good because I needed to know if it would fit, you know, so I know going forward. And it did. It did.
How did the jack perform? Was it straining at all putting the car in the air, or was it kind of smooth and easy?
Well, that jack is labeled the 7000 TL. It's made to lift 7000 pounds.
Wow.
I bought the bigger one. So, yeah, that car is like 2,600 pounds. It didn't even breathe.
Wow.
I mean, I got that because I'm going to be lifting the FJ with that too, which actually, that's the irony of the whole thing is that FJ Cruiser weighs less than my Impala does, my Chevy.
Really?
Oh, yeah. The Impala weighs more than the FJ.
You wouldn't think that it would, but that's great. Yeah, it looks really impressive with the car off the ground like that.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it'll save you a boatload of time if you're doing any work on a car.
Well,
I know how you like to make sculpture out of a vehicle trying to get it off the ground.
Yeah.
I remember the Mazda.
Oh, yeah.
With the tip of the rear bumper touching touching the ground
and the
front wheel almost eye level.
And I'll say this. The only problem I'm having initially is those jacks, those halves, they're heavy. They're like almost 100 pounds a piece. And there are little wheels on the front end of them so you can roll. But you have to bend down to the ground level to lift up the back. And that's the bad position. Now you're bent over, straining your back.
Yeah,
so I have to find a better workaround to move the things around because I don't have the luxury of keeping them in one place. And they're made to be portable. That's why, you know, the hoses. These are the coolest quick disconnects I've ever seen in my life.
Really?
You know, like you have an air tool. So you have the male and the female.
Sure.
But you can see into.
Right, slide the collar back, pop it apart, you're done.
But you can see into each side of those fittings. There's a hole. With these on the jack, there's like a disc that closes that off.
Ooh.
So when you put the fitting in, it moves the disc out of the way, apparently. But because those hoses, I'm wondering if the hoses actually hold fluid. Because if they didn't hold fluid, every time you used it, it would have to purge fluid through.
Yes.
And then you'd have a gap. And it's an immediate lift. So I think the hoses actually hold fluid. And that's why they have those fittings, because they close off and keep them primed, so to speak.
That's pretty high tech.
Really well made. Really, like I said, the jack is made. The parent company is Bendpack, which is one of the top lift companies in the country. So that's why I really felt good about dealing with them. And yeah, like I said, just moving it around is going to be a little problematic for me because of my back. I have to just find, you know, and do not. I was very conscious. They give you a handle, a lift handle. It's kind of got like a cuff on it. And you put the cuff under the end of the ramp, and you can lift by the handle. But as I was moving it, I guess the angle of that handle rotates as you're moving, and I've had the thing drop out of there probably four or five. You know, I was very conscious to make sure my feet were not near there, because if this thing falls on your foot, you got toe problems. Big
time. I was going to say, that thing looks like if you drop it, it'll crack the cement.
Yeah. So,
wow.
So like
damn.
I said...
You have to have a place out, I'm assuming, outside. I don't think you can store it in the garage, but you'll have a place outside with a cover or something.
No, I put them under my Pontiac.
Oh.
But, of course, it wasn't as easy as it sounds. I wish I had the FJ in the garage. Why? Well, because on the Pontiac, my lower control, I have the car backed in, and the lower control arms have those big spring pockets that hang down low.
And
I can actually get it under them, but the headers are low, and I have just a very small margin of error for getting it in there. But I'll tell you what, we have another margin of error. It's called the phone. Let's go to the phone to go to the funds and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Big Ray Guarino.
Yo, what's happening?
This is Michael from Lindbrook. How are you,
Mike?
Friend?
What's happening?
What's up, Mike?
I heard you're looking for a workaround for your back.
Well, yeah, always.
Okay, let's try going from the opposite direction. Work your body, get your core right, and maybe before you get into some endeavor, you warm up a little bit. I know this sounds crazy, but, you know, maybe it's time for you to put some equity into your body so it doesn't fail you when you need it to work on the cars.
I like that.
Does that make sense?
Yes, yes. And you know what? I was pretty limber. The problem is, Mike, to lift, you'd have to come over and see it. To bend over, you got to lift these things off, dead off the ground, and it really isn't even a good lift point. And now you're bent over, which is a bad way for me to be. You know,
the worst, not for you, for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, forward flexion, unsupported forward flexion.
Right.
It's like a crane.
Right.
It's like a backhoe lifting up all that soil without the weight of the cab holding it back.
Exactly.
And it's a problem. However, if your core and your low back muscles are operating in sync, you can do that that task a lot easier.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm.
Just
Mike, it's kind of funny. I've been having back troubles as well, and I've been doing recently, and within the last year, was push-ups. But I've been doing push-ups. I'll do them spread apart, hands spread apart. I'll do a set of those, and then hands together. I'll do a set of those. And I was just working my upper body, and I found out that I was also working my core as well. And my back, as I'm knocking on wood now, has been pretty good. It's been pretty good. I take it as like a side benefit.
You're not knocking on Ray's head, are you?
No.
Yes.
So let me just add one thing to your push-up regimen. I know this is not a physical fitness show, but, you know, in between push-ups, do a three-second hold. And every other push-up, bring your right knee into the chest, then your left knee into the chest, then go do a hold, then do a push-up. If you start working the lower abs while you're in a plank position, you can really start to strengthen your core, and everything will come together for you. It's going to take a while, but it'll happen.
You know, let me ask you this, Mike.
I'll do that. I'm going to try that.
Well, let me ask you this.
I'll let you know about the pain.
I know that for guys who are like 18 and 20 and 22, this works probably really fast. What about old guys? Like, how fast is it going to actually, you know, what is it possible to actually make a difference at this point?
Absolutely. I have a challenge that, you know, I don't promote this out there, but I'm looking for, I can take anybody and in any shape, and given the right sort of support and circumstances, I feel like I can bring them back to some very, very good, reasonable place in their health. It just takes, you know, I would have to be dedicated, they'd have to be dedicated. It's a very unique situation, but I can take either of you and put you where you want to be if the dedication and the time and effort is there.
Well, I'll say this. Ever since I know you, you always have been an optimist.
It's not even optimism. I'm 100% sure that I can take anybody off the street. You know, let's just say if they're functioning, but they're just, I'm going to call them, you know, neglected, and bring them back. It just takes effort, and you guys can do it. It's really nothing. Just do it daily. Remind your body every day that you're trying to change it, and it will change.
Mike, we got to get you into the studio one day, and we'll do a show about this stuff because it is important for guys to know how to, you know, how to react. Yeah.
Yeah, especially radio people that do a lot of sitting.
Yeah.
Sitting. All right, fellas.
Okay, Mike, thanks for the call, brother.
Mike, right, good talking to you.
All right.
Yep, same here.
So long.
Be safe. Bye-bye.
All right.
That's true. We have done shows with Mike where we talked about stuff like that. Because, I even know getting down on the ground, and we've talked about this ad nauseum, getting down on the ground to work on a car, a lot of times you'd be lying there saying, oh, now I got to get up. And getting up was always noise-filled. Right? We always like, I remember being on all fours trying to stand up off the ground, and that was the chore. It was worse than working on the car.
All right, we're gonna go to the phone and the funds again and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hi, this is Coach Isaac.
Coach Isaac, how are you? You got
Ray, Coach Isaac. I've heard a lot about you. How are you?
You got the right link this time.
Yes, I did.
All right. All right. Well, I was letting Chris know, Isaac, that we speak on Thursday nights on Playing Traffic. You're out, of course, in Arizona, so you're in a little different time zone, so. But you are a diehard car guy, so we're happy to have you as part of the Motor Mouth family now.
Yeah.
Tell us,
what's in the stable, Isaac?
I've got a 72 Chevelle. It's my wife's. I've got a 73 Porsche, and I've got a 72 four-door, three-quarter ton Dodge 4x4 truck.
Wow.
Those are the projects.
Yeah.
Those aren't the daily drivers.
No.
And Isaac keeps Isaac keeps Brian pretty busy with the Porsche stuff, because, of course, Brian was a Porsche mechanic, so they were always bonding with that stuff.
Yeah, you definitely did not buy all of the same three vehicles. No. That's for sure. You have like three different oil filters, three different air filters, three different types of oil that these things take. You didn't go for the group plan here.
No.
No. I just my addiction is cars. You know, it's expensive, but at least it keeps me off the streets and begging for money.
Yeah.
I keep trying to tell my wife that. Up. Yeah. Keeps me off the street. So what, tell us a little bit about the Chevelle. Cause you got me intrigued. It's your wife's car.
Yeah. So I was working, I worked out a deal. I was working on some people's car. Their car was a, I think it was a 47 or a 48 Dodge, two door coupe.
Ooh.
And, they needed some welding done in the trunk area. They wanted to rearrange some stuff. And while I was over there, I saw they had a bunch of cars in their backyard, and I noticed the Chevelle, and my wife loves Chevelles, and I started looking at it and asking questions, and they sold it to me, no engine, no motor in it, but they sold it to me for $1,500, and I dragged it home as a birthday present for my wife.
That's nothing says love like bringing home a Chevelle to be your wife. That's right.
Exactly.
That's incredible.
And I'll tell you, you know, we were talking about this Thursday night in the after show. So if you want, go to YouTube, look up Playing in Traffic and last week's show, and just scrub. Well, I watched the whole thing. Of course, it was a great show. We were talking a lot about brakes last week, but at the end, towards the that last hour and a half or so, we were, Brian and I were talking, and Justin were talking with Isaac about that car. We went in depth, and we were throwing back engine choices and all sorts of cool stuff. So another way you can check that
so
out.
So I'm assuming it's still a pushmobile. You don't have an engine in it yet?
No, it's been sitting in the backyard. I got to get the Porsche moved around and get the Chevelle up front and start working on it. I'd like to put a 5.3 LS motor in it with a Tremec 6-speed, a T56 6-speed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the main idea for the drivetrain.
Right. Did I ask you, Isaac, on Thursday night what your choice of rear end gears would be for that car?
You know, I haven't thought about it. I want
go low. Let me give you a hint. Go low.
Well, and I want, so what I want the car to be able to do, I want it to be able to handle. I want to be able to take it on a curvy road.
Yep.
I'm not so worried about, I mean, not that I want it, but I'm not so worried about taking it out to one of these events and running it. What is it, the autocross or whatever they call it?
Yeah.
I mean, not that I wouldn't do it. I do it. But, you know, we have some mountain roads here, some curvy roads. So I want it to be able to handle. I want it to get up and go. But I also, if we want to take it to California or something like that, I want to be able to get up on the freeway and cruise and not be stopping at every gas station.
Well, I'll tell you what, Isaac, I'll be more than happy to talk to you about this off-air and in length, because the way I built my car is kind of the way you want to build yours. I just did it with a 65, not a 72. But the suspension is all off-the-shelf parts. The car makes 90-degree turns. It doesn't sway. The body doesn't move. It really handles like a newer car and feels good on the road, too. So, yeah, we'll talk in the future about this. We'll, you know, be happy to help you out.
Definitely. I heard, as I was listening to the show, the last caller was mentioning about exercises and stuff for your core.
Right.
For me, what helped was just doing sit-ups. I had about 10 years ago, I started getting real bad back pain, and it was real sharp. And I was avoiding going to the doctor because I was afraid they were going to want to cut into me and whatnot. And I don't remember what got me down the road with it, but I just started doing sit-ups and started doing them religiously, and all of a sudden my posture got better and that pain went away.
Oh, great.
Yeah. I think exercising helps, keeping the body moving. Definitely. You're absolutely right. I don't think I do them correctly, but I always found myself hurting myself when I did sit-ups.
Yeah.
So I tip my hat to you, Isaac, that you were able to do them, and they improved your posture and improved your core. That's very cool, because that's what you would think that they would do. They just didn't work for me. I found that doing the push-ups worked for me, but it was like almost like a side note. It was almost like a side benefit, I should say, was doing the push-ups to get the core to straighten up.
I got
to
tell you, Brian sent me a picture of a box of Dunkin' Donuts. It's almost all gone and a big coffee. He says he's working on his core, too. Oh yeah,
because it's That's true, it. Isaac. We're at that age now that we every time we get up off the ground, because you're working on a car, and I don't have the luxury like Ray here. I don't have a lift, so I have to do the old jack under the car thing and then slide under it. And getting up off the ground was sometimes an ordeal.
You know, funny. I was kneeling down at the wheel of the Fiat to look at something yesterday, and my wife came by and was looking at it, and she was skeptical that the jack was going to hold. And I pushed that car. Sure, this thing is solid. It's like it's on the concrete. I mean, it would not move. So she said, "Well, how are you doing, like, with your knees and getting up, you know, from your knees?" And then I just like I tapped my knees on the ground vigorously. I was wearing knee pads with like a hard shell on them. So, yeah. So I was like, I said, yeah. I said, look, I was smart enough to put the knee pads on because I know I'm, you know, you're rolling around a car all over the place and, you know, on the concrete. Yeah, knee pads. I said, and getting up, I get up fine. I said, or I could use the, you could always grab onto the car if you have to. I said, yeah, no problem. But,
Isaac, we've done complete show pieces where it's what car can you get in and out of without making a noise?
Right. Not many.
Well, yeah, so for me, I've learned to just hold my breath.
That's good, because I had an 84 Corvette, and that car you couldn't, it's like you were sitting in a hole, like you fell in. And I always said my feet would be up by the window, and I'd have to swing those in under the steering wheel and trying to swing them out. And I'm not a heavy guy. I'm fairly thin. But I don't think there was ever a time I had to either reach for the floor or reach for the roof in order to get myself out from the driver's seat of that car. So we always goofed about it, where trying to get in and out of a vehicle without making a noise was always a challenge.
Very true.
Well, I'll tell you, in the Porsche, if you have the target top off, it's much easier. You just stand straight up.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. Absolutely.
You're right. Taking the top off definitely was a benefit. But I can't tell you how many times I went to try and rip the sun visor off, trying to reach for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, funny stuff.
Tuck that away and then grab the top of the windshield. That was the benefit. That's true. So you have a what model Porsche do you have again?
It's a 914, the little flat one that has the motor behind the mid engine.
Yes, you're the how can you describe it? Do the Porsche people around you accept that car? Let's start with that.
It depends. It really depends. I mean, you know, way back it was the poor man's Porsche.
Right.
I've not taken it to any car shows or anything like that, but when I've been out driving, I mean, I've gotten thumbs up. I've had some people go by in 911s and just open it up to show me that I'm not in the right Porsche. You know? But I've had other people in Porsches say they really like it. And I actually had a guy that had a Ferrari 348, and he said he liked my car, and he almost wished he had a Porsche instead of the Ferrari, because of just the expense and how much you have to do with that that Ferrari.
Yeah.
You know.
And that was, you know, that's tell me if I'm wrong, but the 914s were the ones that were easier to work on. They were mostly, the parts were reasonable. It was like you said, it was almost an introductory car, and they never really got the recognition that they have now. I think now it's probably the best time to own one. Am I right?
Yeah, there's a lot more people that are into them. I mean, you've also got all the different engine swaps, even, you know, people dropping LSs in it.
Jeez.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You could really just stick it up those 911 guys' noses and put an LS in that car, and like they open up the 911 and zoom, you just dust them.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Good with it. Oh, gosh, that car is so light. There's now more of a following, and actually, I don't know what the going rate is, but I know the prices have gone way, way up. When I got it, I want to say I paid $3,000 for it, and it's almost impossible to find something like that, you know, in decent shape, you know, not perfect shape, but decent shape for that, for that price. There's a lot of Facebook pages dedicated to the 914 as well. And the people on there, just like anywhere else with car guys, it's a lot of knowledge and very helpful.
Sure. Yeah, it's a mark car where people, you know, the enthusiasts follow it. So you're going to get the real deal. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Yeah, sure.
All right. Well, we will, Isaac, thanks for the call. We'll talk more about this stuff on Thursday night, of course. And I recommend people go back to last week's show. You can follow up on some of our in-depth conversation with this stuff. It's it's good stuff.
Right. In-depth about clothes dryers and backaches. Hey. I'm sure you first tuned in and went, is this a car show?
Right. Right. Yeah.
Hey, Ray. Yep. Get a hold of Lewis to get my Facebook, and you can shoot me a message.
Okay. Well, you know what? I have your number. I can just send you a text. How's that?
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, just shoot me a text.
Yeah, I will.
All right. You guys take care. Have a good week this week.
All right, Isaac. Thanks for calling, brother. Talk to you soon. Talk to you Thursday.
Thanks, Isaac.
All right.
Good talking to you.
So long.
You too.
All right.
Thanks.
There's another cross promotion from show to show again. I love
it.
This stuff.
I love it. That's awesome. Yeah. So, I'm going to tune in now and hopefully try and stay awake to play in traffic.
Here's another cross promotion from show to show. It's called My Hometown, Thursdays at 3:30 p.m. This program explores clubs, organizations, businesses, and issues in towns across Nassau and Suffolk counties. Weekly interviews with local guests serve to shed light on local Long Island towns making a difference. And
I need some light shedding. That's good.
I know. Me too. And I also need to tell you that as we sit here and speak, where is my, what happened here? Where'd it go?
Yeah. Tell us the weather, Ray.
Bottom of the hour, 12:35. You know what? It's currently 84 degrees in Mineola, New York. Feels like 87. High of 85 today. Low of 71. Mostly cloudy. Little wind out of the northwest. We got a little bit of possible rain coming in tonight, but with the lawn and the flowers could use it, so we're okay. So,
and you know, talking about real fast, since the rain's coming in, we were going to try again to take the cars to the car show. We got a little cruise night going on.
Oh yeah,
up here in Derby, and we were going to try getting up there. So we're going to see if the Rainmaker is going to prove its power once again.
I think it will.
See if I can get my Chrysler out. And see if I can challenge the storm.
Well, keep the Chrysler in the garage for now, and whip out the midlife. The midlife Chrysler can stay in the garage, and whip out the honor group of the hour. What do we got today, Chris?
Yes, we do, of course, in this fine, upstanding show, the Motormouth Radio honor group of the hour. If you consider yourself a responsible individual, but you only have one set of keys for your car, do you live life on the edge knowing you're one lost set of keys away from calling a locksmith and spending hundreds of dollars to have a new ignition switch and door locks installed? Do you enjoy the rush of locking the doors, not knowing the exact location of the only set? Do you only have one remote key fob for your late model car as well? The other one was misplaced months ago. Do you keep the adventure going by leaving that one lone set, the only known access to your vehicle, in a different place around the house every time? So if you shirk your responsibility of creating multiple sets of keys for your vehicle, then you are part of the Motormouth Radio Wanted Group of the Hour. There you go.
Nice. And if you're like Chris and you're nervous about going into dark alleys, you're going to like this next song because that happens to be the name of it.
You know me all too well.
And we will be back after these bits on 90.3 WHBC Motormouth Radio. Keep it where you got it. Kick it, Chris.
My name is Carl Anthony with Automoblog and Auto Vision News, and you're listening to Ray and Chris on Motormouth Radio, WHPC 90.3 FM.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CARSTAR Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CARSTAR Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y si hablamos español.
More information is available at 516-593-0920 or online at celebritychasecollision.com.
You're listening to the Motor Mouth.
Hello, gentlemen.
Next
you guys
one.
Call yourself hot rods. Come on, man.
I was waiting for you to learn how to trim my bonsai plant.
Motor Mouth.
Love the show and keep them coming.
You have to excuse me. I was just outside messing around with the car.
I'm reluctant to say I'm anything like you guys.
Motor Mouth.
But I am exactly like you guys.
I try and keep every old thing going.
Good show as usual.
Motor Mouth.
You guys are trouble.
I know you guys have your finger on the pulse of stuff.
Our trained staff of two will help.
Come on and ask and answer some car questions. I'm a fountain of useless knowledge.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Instructions are just another man's opinion, Ray.
Yeah, I talk to you guys when I need you. I appreciate you. I listen to you.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
I'll be glad to answer any questions for you. I can.
You're different because you glow in the dark, so it's
yes.
All good.
Rob, can I ask you a question?
Sure, ask anything you want.
Motor Mouth!
Have you heard from Ray or Chris saying that this was going to be the best show ever in the history
of mankind?
No, you
see, it's funny because Gray will come in and say, well, Rob, this is going to be the greatest show
we've
ever done.
It's not Sunday morning until I'm sure.
And sometimes Chris...
Motor Mouth Radio is going to be the best show that was ever done.
And then Chris will sometimes joke that it's going to be the worst show they've ever done.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motor Mouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
Motor Mouth!
Hey, you, get over here. Every Sunday, 12 to 1, you are going to tune in to hear the Motor Mouths, my friends Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. 90.3 FM, WHPC. You might learn something.
Yeah, you might learn something. Then again, you might not.
You might not.
Yes. So enough of this headbanging stuff, huh?
Oh, yes.
I know this is what you like to listen to when you're studying and relaxing.
That's for sure.
Yes, I know.
So anyway, I have a problem.
Uh-oh.
Once again, of course, this is Motor Mouth Radio, and I have a problem.
I heard there's
car.
Cream for that.
Yeah. No, that's when I walk from. But anyway,
okay.
I'm still chasing that P0507 code in the tracker. I think I've covered all of the vacuum leaks, and I purchased a new IAC valve, and I dropped it in with absolutely no change whatsoever. So I'm running down the list of the probable causes for this issue, and one of them is a power steering pressure switch.
Okay.
And I'm a little confused as to why or what one has to do with the other.
That is a very
I mean,
good
I do
question.
Understand the power steering pressure is integral to the operation of the vehicle. I get that. But why would that have an effect off the computer? It sends a signal to the computer, says it's too much or not enough pressure. But why would that have an adverse or affect the idle of the vehicle?
Could it be that the size of the engine is small enough that the power steering puts enough pressure on the system to drop the idle, so the IAC has to compensate?
Okay, I'll take that as a legitimate answer.
I mean, it's the first I've heard of that, so I don't know. 100%,
I mean, there's really not a lot of ways to remedy this situation, and it's really nothing that's going to affect the drivability of the vehicle. It's just it stays idle high a little too long. Now, here's what I found, because I feel just like you learn so much when you mess with things.
Yeah.
So what I did was I took the IAC valve apart. It comes apart almost like a clamshell, pops apart with two screws removed, and in there is a solid steel, kind of like a cylinder. and I'm assuming there's some sort of electromagnet around the case of it. But that cylinder is on like a worm gear, which moves, which activates the plunger that will affect your idle as it's attached to the intake manifold. So I found that if you move the plunger out and put the IAC valve in, it idles swell.
Okay.
Not a problem. It does exactly what it's supposed to do. Shut the car off, turn it back on again.
Because it resets.
And then it goes blasting back up to like 2,000 RPM. Right. And then bink, flight comes on.
Right.
So I can't figure it out.
Interesting. Well,
so I'm still in the process of I'm going to just replace this power steering pressure switch. I'm just going to replace it and just change the fluid, because I'm sure this switch is on the bottom of the power steering pump. And I know once I take it out, I'm going to get fluid everywhere. So I figured might as well just.
You know what? Just for the heck of it, maybe since you're into experimenting, maybe a good thing to do would be restrict the flow of the, you have a pressure and return hose on the power steering, like a regular car. Just like restrict the return flow, you know, clamp the hose with a pair of hose pliers.
Right.
And to restrict the pressure of the pump and see if anything changes with the idle. If there's a one-to-one relation, you know.
Yeah, I could try that. I can definitely give that a shot. Yeah. That's not a bad thing. Either that, or I'm going to keep pulling the IAC valve out at every time I stop.
And they sell the flat jaw pliers that are made. They're literally flat parallel jaws that are made to clamp off fuel hose vacuum lines and things like that, so they don't bite in and cut the hose. They just literally just, you know.
While the car's running, just lean on that hose a little bit and restrict the flow and see what it does.
Well, Joe has an answer for you.
Joe has the answer for me.
Do you want to take a guess?
Now
I'll tell you this. It wasn't related. His answer wasn't related to bad grounds or to new parts, which are the other two things we always go to. It was the third thing that
sell the car.
Which is how he said that's why God made scan tools. Powerful scan tools. I might add.
No, he's right. That's I should just do that, because my scan tool is a simple being. It's not a whoop-de-doo etch-a-sketch that the likings that he has.
Right.
But it can do simple rudimentary functions, and I'm just going to have to buck up and do it, and just get it on the scan. But that's been my headbanging.
Right.
For this week.
Well, that'll drive you nuts.
And mind you, the car runs great. You can drive it anywhere. It runs fine. And when it's warm, the idle comes down to something fairly decent, anything below 1,500 RPM. But still, that blinking check engine light is on, and it just makes me crazy. Right. So, but other than that, everything else is running just fine.
Yes. Yeah, well, you know, I just remembered something. Jog my memory. I just want to put this out there before I forget. Next weekend is, next Sunday is September 11th. And of course, it is the Malba Car Show in Whitestone. Our good friend Billy Velvet puts that on, and he has asked for my presence at that show.
He has requested number one.
So I will be attending that show. Next week, we will be playing a replay Motor Mouth radio show. We'll play a can show. Very few times do we ever do that, but that's one of them. We've actually done the remote. Maybe we'll replay a remote from that show. we can do that. And the following week, the 18th, we're going to have guests in the studio that are anxious to see you, Mr. Switzer.
What?
Yes. Well, in October 2nd, I believe, is the Long Island T-Bird Show. So, of course, Elliot Wiener and Dennis Benfante will be in the studio with me next 2 weeks from now to talk about that show and catch up.
That's awesome. I want to see them too.
Yeah. Elliot said, look, he goes, we're in the car now driving, transporting cars like they're going to Buffalo or something. He goes, tell Chris to drive down from wherever he is. It's not that far.
I'm looking forward to seeing the biggest and the cutest.
Right. So that's going to be the 18th. We'll talk about T-Birds.
Yeah, they used to do the show during the summer.
It did. I don't think it was July. It might have been. No, they always came in July. So
well,
it
they
was
came either, in July.
It was either like late July or maybe they did it in August. So now, right. You know what? Good for them that it switched to October because now it's a hell of a lot nicer. I mean, we've gone to that show and it was hot and sweltery.
Oh, yeah. I remember we made an appearance at that show and it was warm.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I didn't care.
Right.
Everybody else did.
And you know, I didn't when care. It's that hot. Guys want to get out of here anyway, but they want to get out and get home even earlier, you know.
Mm-hmm.
No,
it's true. So the other thing that happened, I had a major victory this week.
Oh?
Yes. Major victory. I finally found a purpose for my 11/32 quarter inch socket.
Okay. I would say a solenoid nut on a GM starter.
That probably would work.
Uh-huh.
You're right.
It does. Yeah.
It probably would work. But yeah, I've lamented that I have, I would say maybe a half dozen of them. And they're all brand new looking. And it's so funny because I'll go reach in the box of my tattered, well-used sockets and I'll pull the nicest one out and I'll go 11/32. Why? Because I never use it.
Uh-huh.
And I never know what they're used for. So and they just sit in my box idle. They never get used. And then I had to get under the Chrysler because one of my reverse lights was out. So, and I have an 11/56 bulb in stock. Everybody does that's our age.
That's right.
So I have them. They're there. They're literally in a drawer, brand new. So I'm thinking this is easy. But of course, Chrysler in its wisdom, you can't get behind the fixture to pop the bulb out from the back. Oh no. You got to pull the whole shebang apart. So that means the lens comes off from the bumper and then the back, the whole affair comes out that way.
Wait, once you take
sitting in there.
But once you take the lens off, you can't take the bulb out?
No, because the whole thing will fall apart. Once you pull and you can't get, there's no screws in the front of the lens.
Oh,
it's all accessible from the back under the bumper.
Is that in the lens where the brake lights are? Is that common lens?
It's actually in the bumper. There's two cutouts on either side of the bumper.
Okay.
That's where the reverse lights
are. Sounds like fun.
Oh, yeah. So you're on your back under the car eating breakfast cereal that looks like rust.
Yeah.
And of course, those two nuts, I get under there with a 5/16 and go, think, that's not it. I get under there with a 3/8 because it's certainly not an 11/32, and I go, think, and of course, I'm spinning my wheels on with that one. So I'm like, maybe it's an 11/32. And I put it on there, fit like a glove.
Uh-huh.
I was like, woo!
Yeah, isn't that great when you get to use a tool that you haven't used ever?
I was like, this is awesome. Change the bulb, all happy.
I'll tell you, as you were saying that, the first thing I thought of was a lot of times those nuts can corrode and not want to come off, and they snap the little stud, which made me think of the inductor.
Yes, I saw you were using the inductor. Talk about it.
You know, my neighbor came over last week, and of course, he goes, hey, Mr. Wizard, Mr. Science Guy. Well, what do you want now? He's got something in his hand. He had had a carpet cleaning business.
Why does everybody have some sort of professor-esque nickname for you?
I don't know. You should ask them. I don't know, because you do too, so I don't know. Because I fix stuff, and I do it smartly, I guess. So anyway,
yes, I guess you do.
He had had a carpet cleaning business, so he had commercial carpet cleaning machines, which are phenomenally strong. I've used them. It is like, you know, the real deal. And he still kept it, so he had to do some carpets, but there's a manifold that has, I think it was 4 or 5 jets in it that squirt.
I saw the pictures on Real_.
Yep. And one of those jets, I think he was taken out. It snapped. So he wanted to get the broken part out of the aluminum body, the brass part out of the aluminum body. I said, leave this with me. I have something. And I went and used the inductor.
And ignore the hollering.
Yep. I heated it up, put an easy out in the middle, and that thing came out like butter. It wasn't even a challenge. I didn't even have to heat it until I saw smoke. It was that.
Wow.
You know, and again, you know, that's why, now let's face it, we talk about this tool all the time, and we use it, and it works. It doesn't work in every single application, but it works in many, and certainly a lot of them that you couldn't use anything else.
It has saved my bacon many times over. I'm a full fan of the inductor.
But
it's a fantastic tool.
It's not something that anybody an average home guy is going to have. A lot of shops don't even have it.
Mm-hmm.
So when I did that, I mean, I literally repaired it, and he lives right across the street. I did
just,
it.
Just can you real fast describe what the inductor does, real quick?
The inductor uses induction, magnetic induction, to through a coil. It's kind of like those dryer coils, electromagnetic induction. You pass current through a coil and you get a magnetic pulse. So what this does is, but this in this case with this coil, it makes heat because of the metal used on the coil. So you can use it's a non-flame type of heat. It's just inductive heat. So you could like from a hair dryer. It's like when you put a hair dryer and you feel the heat, but so you don't have a flame.
You could use it in sensitive areas that a flame would make a lot of
damage.
Well,
like I used it a week ago on the tow truck when I had to bleed the brakes, how to get the brake bleeders out. I used it on the caliper. You could use it near fuel where you wouldn't use a torch like we did on the flatbed. Like, you know, you don't want to use that near a gas tank.
Right.
So not a lot of people going to have one. A lot of shops don't have them, but it saves you bacon. And I told my wife, when I was literally, I mean, I think I was done in 15, 20 minutes tops. Tools put away. I was walking it across the street. And when I came home, I said, you know what? This is what I need to do. Like, you know, I need to set up a little shop somewhere. I need Ray's Fix. Like we used to have, every town had them where you'd bring your radio, your toaster, your iron. I said, you know what? I knocked that out 20 minutes. Tell them to pick it up, you know, at 5 o'clock. Yeah. Give me $90. You know?
Right.
You know, that's what I need to do. I need to make that quick cash just for my, you know, for the talent and the tools that I have that'll do the job.
Right. And that inductor is great for, like you said, it's getting the heat to that spot where the frozen bolt or the snap bolt is, where the heat will actually get it coaxed out with a good clamp, or like you said, like an easy out will get it out of wherever frozen spot it's in. But yeah, I believe it. It's Ray's Fix It is next on the agenda. You can little shop for you.
You look up the inductor and you'll see that a couple of years ago, a guy put a picture up because those coils come in different diameters. They're small to large. And he actually passed a hot dog through one and cooked the hot dog in the inductor. Why? I mean, why not? So literally, you can do that with your finger. So don't do that with your finger or your hot dog.
Right. You know, don't put there's warnings all over it.
And yeah.
I'm sure people have done that.
Ugh.
Stuck their finger in it. No, you don't do that.
See, but the good thing is, unlike using a torch with an open flame, which easily can errantly slip and get you, you know, somehow, this doesn't, you know, because it's concentrated. So it's a great tool.
Really, oh, yeah. Phenomenal. It has saved me many times under a vehicle when you have some sort of corroded nut or bolt that you literally have to pull apart. And that thing comes in so handy. I'm not like you. I don't sit there and just tap it for like 10 seconds and it does the job. No, I got to sit there for like 3 minutes, the bolt up, blowing hot.
That does eat up your coils too, by the way. That
it does.
But I'll tell you, you know, it depends on the application, because like with the brakes, when I did the calipers, I didn't want to expand the brake fluid and explode, because I've had that happen. So it was just quick blasts, short blasts, and then try with the wrench. Short blast, try with the wrench. If it's something on a bench like this thing, yeah, you can get it cherry red and it's not going to matter. But yeah,
it's funny because I had gotten a bleeder screw out of a caliper with an impact gun, with half inch drive impact gun, and I stepped it all the way down to a quarter inch.
It was really?
A quarter inch drive. And an 11/16 the last time I used an 11/16 socket, and I went blow, 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 and I was able to pop the bleeder screw out of it with an impact gun. But it was one of those calipers where it was like, if it snaps, who cares?
Right.
So I experimented, just like we always talk about, when it becomes one big experiment after a while. If you know, you don't have to worry about, if it's not crucial to the operation of the vehicle, where you can get another one easily.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Just let's start experimenting.
That's the nature of the whole business of the beast. That's the beauty of it, just experimentation, right?
Yeah, it sure is. And that's why I love doing what I do, and then every week we sit and report about it. We take all our goofy stuff and we just report about it every week.
And the other thing is, you know, we know what tool to use for this, that, and the other thing, but what to improvise with is quite another thing, and that's where the real hobby comes in.
Sure.
But I tell you what, it's also, we know what comes in, now we know what's going to go out. That's us, because Kim is coming in. So what do we say to people in the parking lot who are waiting for us, Chris?
Don't follow us home unless you have an inductor.
Exactly. And then bring a hot dog and we'll be friends. So if Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino, we won't see you next week. We'll be on tape. We'll see you back on the 18th with Elliot and Dennis from the T-Bird Club. Chris, we'll see you then. 90.3 WHCC. We're out of here. Bye.